Good evening and welcome, beloved ones. Your presences are each a blessing to all of us, so welcome. Let us begin our time together in prayer in the name of the Father, transcendent, the Son, omnipresent, and the Spirit, immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So we begin and affirm the light, life, and love of Christ within us, and among us, and within all. We call upon the conscious circle of humanity to be present with us, and we place ourselves intentionally and fully under the canopy of the work, in order to be lifted into the highest realms of our higher intellectual center and our higher emotional center. As is our custom, we will also begin with a remembrance from the lineage of our teachers who have gone before us and opened the door and shown us the way. And tonight we will remember Thomas Keating, whose birthday was Sunday, March 7th. He would have been 98. What a gift Father Thomas was and is to the world and to this church community in particular. Father Thomas visited the church over an almost 30-year period during his lifetime. And I can't help but think, other than the monastery, that the Church of Conscious Harmony was the place he visited more than any other place on earth during his ministry. So we were very blessed by his radiant presence. The reading that I'm going to share with us this evening comes from one of his last books, although it was recorded many years earlier in an interview as part of his biographical movie. And it comes from the mind to the heart. The world desperately needs people free of cultural illusions and who are undertaking a dedicated exploration of true reality, not just to know the material nature of things, but to know the very source of everything that exists. An unfolding contemplative practice eventually becomes total receptivity. In that receptivity, one is aware of a silence that is becoming an irresistible attraction. Silence leads to stillness. Stillness leads to surrender. And interior silence gradually opens to an inner spaciousness that is alive. In this context, if we speak of emptiness, we are not speaking of just emptiness, but an emptiness that is being filled with a presence. This presence, once established in our innermost being, might be called spaciousness. There is nothing in it except a certain vibrancy and aliveness. You are awake, but awake to what? You don't know. You are awake to something that you cannot describe and which is absolutely marvelous, totally generous, and which manifests itself with increasing tenderness, sweetness, and intimacy. Amen. And so, using different language, the work is totally in service to this being awake, to this receptiveness, and to being filled with this marvelous delight. So may it be so for us tonight and in our journeys together. And we place ourselves at the complete disposal in imminent trust and receptivity to these precious and luminous influences that are radiating upon us always from the circle, conscious circle of humanity. We prepare ourselves to be disposed to Lectio Divina. With back upright, body relaxed and alert and attentive, with heart open, mind in directed attention, I breathe in deeply and hold this rare and precious gift of life. My life, Christ's life, the life evolving in me. I breathe out this healing goodness into our world. I hand over the complexities of this day and the plans for tomorrow and the small anxieties and fears and cares of my heart, knowing that they are known by the one who can do something about them. I lay down my constructed life in order to yield to the divine human life. And I stand unencumbered before God and one another. I will share the screen with our Lectio reading, which comes from today's Word of the Week. Sorry, comes from today's message. He who drinks what flows from my mouth will come to be like me, and I will come to be like him, so that all may be one. We awaken in Christ's body as Christ awakens our bodies. And my poor hand is Christ. Christ enters my foot and is infinitely me. I move my hand and wonderfully my hand becomes Christ. I move my foot and at once Christ appears like a flash of lightning. Do my words seem blasphemous? Then open your heart and let yourself receive the one who is opening to you so deeply. Every most hidden part of it is realized in joy as Christ. And Christ makes us utterly real. And everything that is hurt, everything that seemed to us dark and harsh, shameful, maimed, ugly, irreparably damaged, is transformed and recognized as whole, as radiant, as lovely and radiant in light. He who drinks what flows from my mouth will come to be like me, and I will come to be like him, so that all may be one. We awaken in Christ's body as Christ awakens our bodies. And my poor hand is Christ. Christ enters my foot and is infinitely me. I move my hand and wonderfully my hand becomes Christ. I move my foot and at once Christ appears like a flash of lightning. Do my words seem blasphemous? Then open your heart and let yourself receive the one who is opening to you so deeply. Every most hidden part of it is realized in joy as Christ. And Christ makes us utterly real. And everything that is hurt, everything that seemed to us dark, harsh, shameful, maimed, ugly, irreparably damaged, is transformed and recognized as whole, as lovely, and radiant in light. He who drinks what flows from my mouth will come to be like me, and I will come to be like him, so that all may be one. We awaken in Christ's body as Christ awakens our bodies, and my poor hand is Christ. Christ enters my foot and is infinitely me. I move my hand and wonderfully my hand becomes Christ. I move my foot and at once Christ appears like a flash of lightning. Do my words seem blasphemous? Then open your heart and let yourself receive the one who is opening to you so deeply. Every most hidden part of it is realized in joy as Christ. And Christ makes us utterly real. And everything that is hurt, everything that seemed to us dark, harsh, shameful, maimed, ugly, irreparably damaged, is transformed and recognized as whole, as lovely and radiant in light. Amen. You are invited now to share what you received from this passage and perhaps how the work came to meet you through it. In order to share, just simply use the raised hand function and you will be called upon and unmuted. Karen, please.
I heard an experience of Christ in our bodies and how we can have that experience. And that's, I think, something that a lot of us who came from a more traditional or background or more popular Christian background, that's a foreign thought to a lot of us. And so it's a wonderfully freeing and permissive passage for us to be able to understand how we can experience Christ within our bodies. And it shows a connection with the moving center and the emotional center and how intertwined they can be. And also at the end, I got a lot from this. At the end, when it talked about the healing, that healing also seemed to be not just a physical healing, but also both a physical and emotional healing in both centers.
And indeed it does. That's beautiful, Karen. Thank you. Karen, sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Bev, please.
I heard the ending part about what seemed to be ugly and dark and hurt and all that then was transformed. And it reminded me of when I was taking a walk this week, that seeing how everything belongs, even what looks like trash, what looks like something that shouldn't be there in my mind, that when just seeing what is the reality of the situation, the truth or the reality, then it can see that everything belongs. Mm-hmm. And it really, then it can be seen from a higher place and seen as good. But it takes the light of truth.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Beverly. Lisa, please.
You're muted, Lisa.
Yeah, you're muted.
Sorry. I could not help but almost laugh listening to this when I read it this morning too. I visit my doctor's office about 3 times a week currently because I'm having physical therapy on a new foot and physical therapy on a new hand. So I have taken this Lenten journey to do a lot of sitting and reflecting and being embodied in a different way that involves a lot of physical discomfort. And I've experienced the presence of God in yoga and after opening my body, and it's been from a joyful, expansive place. And I'm so grateful to have that in my cellular being. And this time around, to embrace God in physical discomfort and to welcome that is just blowing me apart in a different way. And I want to say that I'm cooked, but I'm not. I'm still feel like I'm in the fire. But it's giving me a lot of hope.
Yes.
And a deeper thirst and hunger.
Mm, that's beautiful.
I wish to continue. Thank you.
Yes, may it be so, Lisa. Thank you for that gift. Jonathan, please.
Thank you, Marianne. I was hit with the part of the reading that said, and were made utterly real. And I couldn't help but hear an echo of the Velveteen Rabbit story and the exchange between the rabbit and the skin horse. And just echoing some things that have been shared about the part of the passage that was read after about healing and so on. And what struck me in the work, probably since the beginning of the school, has been a recognition of the importance of rediscovering the wisdom of the body in the moving center, which has been most suppressed in my journey, and recognizing that much of the shame that I've carried in my bones has come from others' hands, and I've passed that on in my own life, and yet also much healing has come from other physical bodies, and I too have, in spite of myself, been able to be a blessing in that way. And I think the mystery of the text and that dynamic of, you know, the way the passage ended in the light reminds me of the psalmist's words, where darkness is as light to you. And that there is such a mystery to the intelligence of the body that is almost endlessly explorable. Thank you.
Indeed it is. Thank you, Jonathan. And that is doubtless a wonderful segue into our evening's topics at hand. You know, some of the extraordinary thing about that passage is that it was written so many centuries ago by a monk. And something happened along the way where the body was discounted. May there be a renaissance starting with us in outlook about the body. So thank you for your sharings. They were deeply meaningful to me. As well as to everyone, I'm sure. So now it is my joy and delight to introduce Pamela Begemann, who will again continue our discovery into the realms of our bodies, our incarnation as Christ on this planet, and perhaps beyond. So Pamela, please.
Thank you, Marianne, and definitely beyond. That's, I think, why we're all here. We could just stop right now and summarize the whole class by what Jonathan just said. And it has to be personal. It has to be experiential. It can't be words on a page. It has to be felt and sensed and smelled and tasted the pain, the joy, the shame, the ugliness in the light. And that's the grace of the school and the grace of community, because the light is so bright with each of us, and we each bring a piece of that light. Last week, we talked about emotions in the body, and we practiced. And hopefully you practice throughout the week and had some revelations about how emotions manifest in your own body and what sensations manifest in your body, and maybe experience sensations in a new way or emotions in a new way. So our exploration had a couple of different components. We were asked to explore posture, not in any right or wrong or best and not so good way, but just to observe our posture and feel into what posture communicates. We were invited to practice the welcoming prayer, which we did together last week, as a means, a three-centered means of self-observation, non-identification, and self-remembering. And as always, to self-remember, to remember God every day. And I added the question for reflection about how do I include or not include my body in my spiritual practice? So as you think about if there's anything to report, when I was preparing for class this week, I came upon two interesting pieces that I thought were great bridges between last week and this week. This first one comes from Carl Jung, and he says, anything experienced outside the body has the quality of being without body. So you must experience the whole thing over again. It must come in a new way. So for me, that's the case for the welcoming prayer, because the issues are in the tissues. And as JC said last week, everything is recorded in roles. And those roles are the tissues and our genetics and our cells and our memories. And if they haven't been, if they've been denied or repressed or not experienced, they're still hanging out there. And these practices invite us to experience what's there, what's in the unconscious, what's in the body, what's in the time body, in the memories, in a new way. First conscious shock, but experiential, incarnated. Second thing I came across is a bridge to this week's homework. And this was about posture. And in the book, this is a book we read some years ago, Jung and Yoga, which I happened to pick up in my preparation. Jung said that the spine is the axis between heaven and earth. And there was a phrase, the elongation of the spine is one of the most important ways in which we create an immortal body or a subtle body. One which is able to resist the temptations of time to become weary, inflexible, and shorter. Shorter often means a lower self-esteem or resentment for diminishment as we age and lose capacity, or for not living fully. So that might inform some of your observations. And we'll come back to those in a minute. But before we do, I want to go back to the grounding and gratitude practice and embody that again together. So I invite you to prepare for this, and you can stand if you wish. If you didn't stand last week, you might want to stand because it has a different energetic quality. Otherwise, you can stay seated. And we'll do this four times. The first couple of times, I'll guide you through it, but then I'm going to put myself on mute so that you can hear your own voice and follow your own cadence of your breath. So let's begin. So sitting comfortably, you can see the instructions with feet on the floor, or if you're standing or if you're sitting cross-legged, that's fine. And just extending your arms out. And we're going to follow our breath. And again, this is subtle yoga. This is the science of subtle yoga that uses vibration and sound and affirmation and touch. So we're going to inhale, exhale, hands on thighs. I am rooted in gratitude. Inhale, exhale, hands below the navel. I am balanced in gratitude. Inhale, exhale, hands to solar plexus. I am empowered in gratitude. Inhale, exhale, hands to heart. I feel gratitude. Inhale, exhale, hands to throat. I speak gratitude. Exhale, hands to eyebrows. I see gratitude. Exhale, hands to top of head. I am gratitude. Slowly releasing, breathing, noticing. Inhaling, I am rooted in gratitude. I am balanced in gratitude. I am empowered in gratitude. I feel gratitude. I speak gratitude. I see gratitude. I am gratitude. Releasing. Okay, I'm going to mute and you just do the last two repetitions on your own. So just noticing. Whenever I do this in a group, my whole body vibrates. It's completely different than on my own. So, what was your experience this week? Mark, please.
I had an observation about posture. In fact, I already had it last Thursday while you were speaking, but I had noticed that ever since we moved to Zoom that I had struggled with attention and staying as focused as I would if we're at church. And I've been working with the mental and the emotional content and, you know, some progress, but still it was not the same. And as you were speaking last week, I, for the first time, actually checked my posture, and I was all slouched and realizing that at church, I'm completely habituated to having very good posture, but not at home. And as soon as I switched to starting the effort with posture, it made all the difference in the world. Not that it was, you know, all that other stuff was gone, but it was so much easier to deal with once I locked in on a good posture. So thank you.
So attention in the body led to more focused attention.
Yeah, it changed the other centers.
Right.
Immediately, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Karen, please.
Right. Well, I didn't notice it only last week, but I've been aware of my posture about being, you know, bending over forward a little too much, sort of having this kind of posture. Mm-hmm. And with that awareness of that kind of posture, I began to feel the weight of things I was carrying that I didn't need to, but that's what it was about. Mm. I was working very hard at it too. And then last week when we had our class and I was able to make more of a connection about, even though I believed God was in my body and I could understand that every cell, every vital part of my innards and outers was being worked and lived by Christ, I still had this very heavy, reluctant attitude about going all, you know, I wasn't all the way there yet. And there was a great resistance to do that. And then after the work last week, I was able to hear and understand that in me is where I meet my Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it, whatever that was, it, you know, was snapped the centers together, so to speak, and I haven't had the heaviness. I've been so grateful not to have it. I don't have to go around resisting everything in the world. So my life has been much lighter and happier, and I haven't really quite noticed my posture to see if it's on a more regular, straighter trajectory than it was before. But I love to not have that resistance. It's lovely. Mm-hmm. And now I can love to do the work more than thinking it is work.
Well, and if resistance comes up, and it will, in a new form, in a new cloak, you know, you have tools to work with resistance. What does resistance feel like in the body? And work with the welcoming prayer, right? It's heavy, it's constricted. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's this in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And it is a burden that shows up physically. The emotional burdens show up physically.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you. Bonnie.
Okay. All right. I'm going to talk about the welcoming prayer as was done in the United Day of Prayer at the Hawaiians. The lady who did that incorporated her hands in the movement, and she had said how powerful that was when having gone through some personal experiences in her life. And so we tried it. And it, I don't know if it was because it was really like almost 1 o'clock in the morning or what, but it felt so powerful to use the welcoming prayer and to combine that with the body, actually moving our hands and actually getting involved in it. It added a whole new dimension to it. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to do that more lately. So that was a beautiful experience, and especially done in a group. That was, I will continue to do that. And I wanted to say one other thing. I found something at Snowmass. It was beautiful. It says, Carl Jung said, "Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens." Mm-hmm. And I love that phrase, and I'm going to take that and ponder that for a while too. After those phrases. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. David, please.
So my work was mostly with the posture exercise or invitation, and specifically was paying attention to posture when I was sitting in centering prayer. And, you know, it was really cool that in that one particular position with my body, that it really revealed so much. I mean, I could have been standing up, I could have been walking, I could have been whatever, because the elements are all the same. A feeling of being pulled forward, and it's, you know, and I believe it's not just gravity that's doing it. You know, I could blame it on gravity, but I think it has to do with old habits that have been crystallized, of course, but I can see how those postural habits of leaning forward and slumping and such are rooted in associations about how I hold myself, you know, mentally and emotionally, you know, associations about who I am as a being or a person even. And even though it feels like at times I've been working on having a more erect posture for a long time, and the earlier stages of that work felt like a lot of effort, kind of like when we first come into the work, and it feels like a lot of effort to self-observe, non-identify, and self-remember, and then it gets easier. You know, it becomes more the normal steady state of things. But I also noticed that with this postural habit, that when when I was sitting, making a conscious, intentional effort to sit more erect, I could feel this pull down the front of my body. And that just was there. And when I gave myself permission to, or gave my body permission to just let go, it was very freeing, you know, and it wasn't effortful at all. It was actually easy. I felt so much lighter. I feel so much lighter because of that.
Yeah. There's two things that you're sharing brings up for me is first of all, posture is not divorced from the breath. And the breath can be so helpful in circulating the energy that, as you said, the crystallized energy that has us start to do this or has us, you know, always be leaning forward. In other words, all of our attention is forward and getting more and more constricted. So not only does posture, but the breath and posture helps to keep the energy circulating. And the tendency in the modern world, especially when you're looking at a computer all day, is you're just like this, and there's no awareness of the not only the whole body, but even just the back. So posture also brings more of a holistic experience in the moment.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a doorway to that holistic experience.
That's right. The breath and the posture together. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, you know, they can't be one without the other, but they can be conscious. They can be consciously brought together. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Christine.
Hello.
Hi.
Posture. My experience this week and even leading up to this week with posture, like experimenting with it during meditation or prayer, and I found similar things as what others are sharing tonight. One thing that I've noticed is that often I too am leaning forward, and it's almost imperceptible. But if I find that I'm feeling tight or anxious or stuck, I'll just lean back. Even if I think I'm not leaning forward, I'll just lean back, and it's just like magic, you know, the breath just, I'll take a big breath. The body takes a big breath, and it's like, oh, and I can like look around and orient. And it has just become, you know, I think that way, that tension has just become so ingrained that I don't even know. And I might even look like I'm standing up straight or sitting up straight, but it's just this, it can be just this minuscule little leaning forward or little tension. And if I just lean back, everything opens up. And I was also kind of thinking this week about, you know, in posture, I tend to just think about, you know, the external body. But then I started, because we're focusing so much on heart this year, I started thinking about, well, what's the posture of my heart in this moment? You know, is it leaning forward and kind of attack mode, hunting mode, you know, or is it leaning back in this moment? And I really started looking at that this week, and I can say that I failed a lot this week in getting identified in situations and getting angry or being disappointed. But it was still useful because at least I could look back and kind of look for the moment where my heart closed and its posture got rigid. And, you know, so I'm just wishing for more more awareness in the moment. Thank you.
Amen. There is, at least I have, a sensation in the body when my heart closes. There's a felt sensation of a closed heart, whether it's because of judgment, disappointment, as you said, resentment, resistance. I feel a sensation. I've gotten in touch with that sensation. And then the Walk Me prayer teaches me to feel it and sink into it. Accepting it, not judging it. Very gentle, subtle movement. So yes, I never thought about it as a posture, but there's definitely a sensation of open and closed, or small and large. Thank you. Tamara.
You pronounced my name perfectly. It is so good to see you, Pamela,
you too.
Again. I wanted to say, in the 12 years I've been at CCH, the last Thursday night was, there have been so many beautiful ones, but it was breathtakingly beautiful. And I felt it in every cell. And what I want to confess for this week is the relationship between, for me, back pain and anger and resentment. As Christine was talking, I could just feel, I have been doing the same Pilates workout for probably 200, 300 times for years, but there are mornings this week I was doing it and my back was tight. And I have to switch from Pilates to restorative yoga and start breathing. And at first I'm like, what? I'm fine. A grievance will come up. The body doesn't lie.
The body doesn't lie.
The mind wants to heal. And so it's going to come up, whatever I need, if I'm open and my back is talking to me, and gently it will relax, but only if I can at least acknowledge what the grievance is. And then slowly, and then it's as if, you know, it has nothing to do with how much I've warmed up. It has not, it's going to be the same routine, but my body, and why all of a sudden it comes up now and it didn't come up a year, I don't know. It's a mystery to me when I'm quote ready, but the power of it, if I just give it some attention,
that's right.
It'll teach me something. And thank
that's right.
you. Thank all of you. I love this.
Yeah, that's right. And we don't even really need to know what it is. I mean, it sounds like you had a realization that there was a held grievance, but if it's talking to us, we can just move toward it, which can be counterintuitive, especially if it's painful or uncomfortable, but to just move toward it in prayer, in union with the Spirit, because it's all about the relationship and the connection, which Karen talked about before, realizing that Spirit is really here with me, no matter what is happening. And I can pray with this and be with this. And then whatever happens, happens. If it releases, it releases. If it moves, and I accept that, and I move with that. And it teaches us to be fluid. Teaches us, instead of crystallization and hardness, just to be fluid, to flow with what is. And it's exercising that muscle for life, for relationship, right? Yeah. Thank you. Let's see. Billy and Brad, please.
It's just me. It's
Hi. Billy.
Hi. There was so much in this. This has probably been my favorite email of last week of all time. When I first opened it up, and the first thing I read was, please come home to your body. It took my breath away.
Yeah.
I really have not been able to get really quite past that. And I could hear Tim Cook's voice in my head saying, it's happening below the neck. It's got to be below the neck, below the neck. And I can remember having early on, before we started having centering prayer retreats, silent retreats, there were a couple of women's retreats. And I remember there was a lot of focus on coming into your body, and it was quite illuminating. And I had forgotten all about that because I tend to just want to avoid my body. You know, I couldn't tell you in a million years if my back is hurting, what on earth that could be related to. To me, it's just, oh, well, you know?
Yeah.
But the please come home, I've really been every day thinking about that phrase and what does that mean? And what does that feel like in every cell, and that this is my personal earth?
Yeah.
It just has blown me away, really. And has been my wish every day.
Mm-hmm.
And my aim is to come home to your body, because it's not a place, even though I'm a moving type, it is not the place where I want to be.
Mm.
Generally speaking, it's the place that gets me in more trouble than anything else.
But now it's planted in your heart. That's what I hear, in a really deep level, and that changes everything. And I can hear that emotional quality that's landed in you, how beautiful that is.
And I pray for the healing from
that's
that
right.
idea that whatever it is that brings me in and into every cell and into, really, it's the light. It's coming into the light of everything.
And that's not, right.
not feeling resentment towards my body, not resisting what my body is trying to say. And that's been my Lenten thing, was to try to identify and give up resentment and resistance to what is. And I never associated it with my body until last week. So it's been really huge and beautiful. And I'm very kind of excited about it and fearful at the same time.
Well, now you know how to work with the fear in your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the portal. That's right. The, as you said, your body is the earth, and that's your portal. And you're incarnating heaven in your earth. It's already there, and now you're just going to know it in a new way. Yeah, so beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Whose iPhone? Rusty? Rusty, there you are.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. I had a gathering over the last weekend with my two sisters and my aging mother down in Corpus Christi. And the intention was twofold. Just number one, to be together. And number two, there's some things that needed to be discussed. And early Saturday afternoon, I was in an incredibly anxious place. And I had this huge pit in my stomach. And remembering our Thursday class, I just put attention on it. I didn't even do the welcoming prayer. I just put attention to that pit of my stomach. And I just prayed for a holy outcome. And I cannot describe the way things unfolded in such a beautiful way. And it wasn't anything that I figured out. It wasn't some strategy. It was this bodily conversation, and it wasn't even understanding why the body was acting that way, other than the general fact that I was under a lot of stress. And just to put attention on it, just kind of softened it. And again, there was just things that unfolded from there that I could not have planned in a million years. And And so I am incredibly grateful, like so many people, to this little passage that we're going through in our school.
Yeah. Are you out walking right now or running or what?
I am. I'm walking. I've been experimenting with just walking while I've been participating. And I just kind of getting the moving center going while I'm hearing all this beautiful, beautiful language and beautiful thoughts and beautiful sharing.
I totally get that. I do that all the time. So that's wonderful. And thank you for your testimony. The welcoming prayer can be just done in the way that you described it, Rusty. It can just be as simple as focusing and sinking into. And it sounds like you married that with a wish. I'm trying not to look at you because I'm getting dizzy.
I'm sorry. I'll stop.
But anyway, so although there are three movements to that prayer, once it gets embodied, it's just as you said, it's very simple.
And the beautiful thing about it too, Pamela, was that it was I don't want to call it a vague wish, but it wasn't like I need this, this, and this to take place over this weekend.
Yeah.
It was just a wish of the highest outcome.
Yeah.
And just to participate in any way God felt was appropriate in getting there. And so it was just the most unscientific, unmental thing that I think I've ever participated in.
Welcome to being home in the body. It doesn't have to be so hard. Amen. Woo-hoo. Go team. Thank you, Rusty.
Thank you, Pamela.
We have three people. You guys are going to, if you can move a little quickly with your reports, we can go through them. Rebecca, Cynthia, let's start with you.
Yeah, I'll just be brief. One is I had some really difficult news to digest this week, and the welcoming prayer was so incredibly effective in dissipating it and feeling it. It's almost a miracle how that happens, that it just releases. There's just no understanding in my head how it happens, but I had to keep coming back to it. The next day, it manifested into a very different feeling. And once again, the welcoming prayer just came up to meet me. But I wanted to say something about yoga and the breath of yoga very quickly. So I've been practicing yoga for a very long time. And I was a certain height all my life, say up into my 30s. And I am now at my age, an inch and a half taller than I used to be, my normal height. And I have used my breath to extend my spine, and I can actually feel it moving and moving. And I was shocked at, and I am still at my age where a lot of my friends are getting shorter. I have maintained that inch and a half of my height. And then another thing I wanted to say about the breath in yoga is that there's many heart openers that one can do. They're called heart openers. And the breath you can feel, you know, I think that we don't want to open our hearts because it's being vulnerable and being exposed. So
that's
often
right. We're
hurting, we draw in and we hunch over.
Right.
It's a protection. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're cold and we go like that. Mm-hmm. And I practice going out in the cold and opening my heart. But the yoga has postures where you can put things underneath your spine and actually lay and open your heart. And you can feel the breath actually expanding that area. So it's just a beautiful practice. I just wanted to share that.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. And actually, I'm going to use that, Rebecca and Jeff, as a transition, because that's a perfect segue. We're going to talk more about yoga. But I remember Sharon Johnson, you saying years and years ago about laying over blocks. And I just got myself a long foam roller so I can do exactly what you're talking about, Cynthia, so I can lay over it and just let myself breathe so that I can open this up. And now they're catching up with yoga and discovering the science of balancing the nervous system, the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system, by doing these kinds of things with breath. So it's incredibly powerful. So hopefully, Rebecca and Jeff, we can get back to you all. But I do want to move on to what we're going to cover tonight, because Cynthia gave us such a great segue. Let me just, so last week we talked about being a bivalve or being a sieve. And it set us up for some things that we're going to talk about this week in terms of the higher being bodies and essentially the exchange between the realms. And if you're reading the community reading, Cynthia's book, which I'll put up in front, The Eye of the Heart, that is all about this. And then, as I said, I pulled out this book, Jung and Yoga, which has a lot of what Cynthia was just talking about in terms of elongating the spine that we'll go into just a little bit and what that does. But the what we're really, the possibility is that we can participate, consciously participate in an upward and downward transmission of different levels of reality, of different consciousness. And it can be mutually nourishing, both for us and the levels above us, that there is a mutual exchange. And our subtle and physical bodies can be the receiver and transformer of energies. They can be like sieves. They can be a way of taking in very subtle and fine energies, or taking in negative energy and breathing out neutral energy or grounded energy, whatever you want to call it, but that the energy can be transformed through us, through conscious use of the body and breath. And it's another way of talking about something we covered last year, which is the side octave of the sun, reciprocity, where when we studied the side octave, it said the sun wants something for itself. In other words, there is something that the levels above us in the ray of creation are looking for and need from us. And I've put a link here to the archives because there's three in this notes, so you can find these three different emails that cover the side octave, reciprocal maintenance, and conscious labors and intentional suffering. But basically, there's a reciprocity, and there's a very important role we can play consciously. We play it to some extent unconsciously. So we've talked before that we can be food for levels below us, or we can be food for levels above us. So in the afterword of Cynthia's book, A.A. Almas has some very, very concise summaries of what we're focusing on this evening. So I just want to go through a few of those. And he talks about, and Cynthia uses the word maps all the time, that subtle body teachings are constructive maps, and they're based on experience in the lineage, and they can be very useful for further illumination, for further understanding, for further practice. And you know what? If they're not useful, set them aside. Just set them aside and move to where something is useful for you. And that's true for all the teachings in the school and all the weekly practices. If your point in the work is different, or the map you need is different, then that's the one for you, regardless of where we are. It needs to be useful and practical for you. And he says, spiritual illumination is an interchange, an exchange of spiritual substances between different realms. And those things that we call love, compassion, intelligence, will, forgiveness, and so on are actual substances. They are actual substances for our being. They're food. And these substances descend from the higher planes of being to the lower ones. And I was reminded of that during our time in Lexio, where it said, she who drinks from what flows from my mouth will come to be like me, and I will come to be like her. So that comes to consciously chosen impressions, to nourishing ourselves with consciously chosen impressions. And he says, our practice of conscious labors and intentional suffering generates energies. It also digests energies. And these energies can rise from us up through the imaginal realm and to higher planes. And Cynthia's whole book is about that. Another quote, he says, our physical humanity is not separate from an indestructible spiritual essence. And what if we really knew that? What if that was our lived reality, that no matter what is happening, we get vaccinated, we don't get vaccinated, we have water, we don't have water, we have electricity, we don't. No matter what is happening, we are part of an indestructible spiritual essence. And he goes on to say, the more we intimately know both sides of our being, the more we know both sides of our being, the more effectively and appropriately we can navigate life and death and after death. And he says, we can be liberated from much of the suffering by metabolizing it. I love that word, by metabolizing it. We combine with it. We digest it. We take it in a new way. We filter it. We breathe something else back out. This is the possibility, and this is the reality. So one of the things that was really important for me when I was thinking about this topic is how to make this practical, how to take it off the realm of map into practices. So these are some of the practices that support our subtle body or our higher being bodies. Asanas, pranayama, mantra, chant, mudra, visualization, sound, and vibrational healing. All of these things. Yeah, Billy's going, yeah, thumbs up. So that goes back to the grounding and gratitude practice had so much of that. It had touch, it had vibration, it had sound, it had affirmation. But these are very, it's not just woo-woo stuff. This is the stuff of the subtle body. So we've talked about conscious labors and intentional suffering, a surrendered will, the kenosis of self-emptying. Something has to get out of the way for this exchange to take place. And that's what all of our work is about. In the email today, it said, move off the attraction aversion treadmill. Isn't that the truth? The attraction aversion treadmill, which chains selfhood to the physical body and the selfhood of this world. So we work on that all the time in our self-observation, non-identification, and self-remembering. This is draining and dripping the energy that is stuck in our attractions and aversions. Our conscious attention, we've talked about that tonight. Discernment has become a lifeline practice for me. I can't imagine moving through life without this practice of learning to listen. And Lectio Divina certainly teaches us this. Centering prayer teaches us this. Learning how to listen deeply and pay attention to guidance and knowing that is coming to us all the time, but without the interference of the self, without the commentary, without the obstacles. And Cynthia calls it developing a new operating system of knowing, the eye of the heart. So we know in a different way. And in fact, on a Zoom conference that she had this week, right now there's an online course that she's offering on her book. And she said, we don't get a lobotomy. So it's not like we stop using the intellect, but the intellect in all three centers are integrated. And in doing that, we upgrade our operating system of knowing in a completely different way. Another practice is reconciling the opposites. And this is, this happened to me many, many times this week, where some impression came in, there was inner resistance, and what met it all, the reconciling force or the third force, was just an inner stillness. And as all of those energies are kind of banging around on the inside, if you will, that stillness just allows these vibrations to come to a halt. You can feel it, but it means being with it, which is what the welcoming prayer invites us to do, to be with all of the kind of banging back and forth emotionally that goes on, and just being in stillness. And as we learn to be in stillness, consciousness learns to stop fluctuating and fragmenting. One of the things that Cynthia quoted from Thomas Keating, he said, when in doubt, walk. So if all of this just feels like way too much, when in doubt, walk. And I would add, when in doubt, breathe. Just breathe. This is about integrating energies, and it can be very disruptive to the body. It can be, all week long I've been unloading. There's been a lot of tears, a lot of emotions, a lot of sensations, a lot of changes in my body. And my role in that is not to get too involved in it, but just to move, to help those energies integrate. Move, walk, breathe, yoga. When in doubt, walk. And all of us can do that to one extent or another. Or we, if we can't, we can sit in our chairs and do some of the movements that we've done together. And we can breathe. We can adjust our posture. So practice, practice, practice. And a couple of things about that. We've already talked about the spine as the axis between heaven and earth. And in Jung and Yoga, Judith Harris, who wrote the book, says that the Tadasana pose, which is just the mountain pose, just standing, is the central pose for every other pose. And it's exactly what Cynthia was just saying, that elongation, that breathing, that really is stretching us between heaven and earth and connecting the two. And with practice, that becomes a reality. And you can feel yourself being rooted to the center of the earth as you feel yourself spiraling upward. She talks about hatha yoga. And she said the word hatha actually stands for ha, meaning sun, and tha, meaning moon, which is the union of the masculine and solar principle with the feminine lunar principle. This union is to awaken higher consciousness and the divine immortal body. So this isn't about stretching and getting flexible. And intention is everything. When we do these practices, if our intention is centered here, that's what they're for, and that's what they do, and that's what we draw to us. And the breath is the intelligence of the body. And somebody already mentioned this, it brings us into a state of attention. It's the beginning of attention. And then it also leads into purification. Those of you who have done breath work know this, and it can be a transformer of energies. It assists with that integration, with that incarnation, with the grounding. She says it can take years for trust to enter the cells of the body. Yoga is not about performance or competition. It's about patience. And so intention is everything, and practice is everything. And Cynthia even said in her Zoom call, she said, you know, if all of these maps don't make sense to you, don't worry about it. Just do your practice. Just practice and find what practice works for you. So our homework this week, and we'll stop for comments after this. There were a couple of practice hints or suggestions in the email about choice and non-identifying, and you can look at those and ponder if any of those call to you. You were invited to attend a Eucharistic service to participate in the exchange that the Eucharist provides. And then we've mentioned a lot of other practices during class tonight, so those are also options for you. So what else? Does any comments or Billy? Brad, can you unmute?
Yes, sorry. Hi, Pamela.
Hi.
Coming from a Buddhist background recently, I was recently reminded that the translation, in Buddhism we use the word suffering, as a matter of fact, it's the foundation of Buddhism. The Four Noble Truths are all about suffering and how to get around that. And Billy just told me to speak up.
Yeah, I heard her. We heard you, Billy.
And I was reminded today that, like Peter does, he likes to explore the original terminology and translations. And suffering is in a, that translation in Buddhism is a little harsh. And it really, the original word was dissatisfaction. Mm. And we're always looking for something to make us happy, always looking, and how to get rid of that. And the other thing I was reminded about doing the mudras and the mantras and the asanas, and we do them thousands of times. And why do we do those thousands of times? And this was a teaching that Tim gave years ago. And we do those because we can move them from our heads to our hearts.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much, Brad. That's beautiful. That's right. From theory to practice to incarnation. That's right. Thank you. Anyone else? Greta.
I did a lot of work on posture this week, and it's interesting because I've worked on my posture for millions of years, but the older you get, the more difficult it is to maintain a good posture, not only because of, shrinking spine or anything like that, but there is a tendency over time, especially with cell phones and things like that, to move the head forward, which decreases the curve in the back, which, and forward head really puts the body in disbalance. And that's where yoga is important, because yoga helps the body itself stay in balance. And as you said, the issues are in the tissues. Things like forward head can reduce the amount of testosterone or estrogen you produce, reduce the amount of serotonin or feel-good hormones you produce. So it's sort of a vicious circle. The worse your posture is, the more in disbalance you will get, the worse you will feel. So I go with Cynthia. Yeah, stretch that spine and keep that curve in the lower back. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for adding that. Those wonderful insights. Jeff, we'll take Jeff as the last one.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So what the consciousness about posture this week was really useful. I apparently come from a large family of slumping sixes, and it tends to just sort of manifest in computer work and all that kind of thing. That's over. But where I noticed the big difference this past week was in centering prayer, which has gotten crusty over the years. And I was reading David Furnett's book, and I realized that if I really work or pay attention to being vertical, my breath is effortless. And using my sacred word to bring me back to intention is less of a club, and it's more it's more effective to be open and let that energy or that peace come in. It was I didn't realize how hard I was using my sacred word. It was like trying to beat the body back up into submission, you know, into verticality, but that's not it. Right. It starts here with intention, and then it just naturally sits there. The breath comes so much more easily. And then the sensation and the effect of centering prayer is so much deeper and simple and effortless with the sacred word. It just, it is that light little flip, feather landing on a piece of cloth. It's gentle and a much different experience.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing centering prayer into this. And I love David's book for recalibrating a practice. That's a really great, he's got great teachings. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you all. Marianne.
Thank you, Pamela. And thank you, everyone, for a very rich and meaningful evening. A closing word from Rodney Collin. This is a Kairos time, a time of exceptional opportunity for those who want to acquire will, love, and reason. A great change is approaching, in which positive forces must balance the negative ones. The positive irradiations emitted by people of goodwill collect all the neutral ones submitted by ultra-heavy matter, and they form them into a protective barrier, like a kind of jelly that can absorb and neutralize all negative irradiations. We do not realize the responsibility we have for everything that we project. We are to project positiveness. It affects thousands of people all over the world, not only us, but other people everywhere also. And then we leave their distribution to God. And so it is. Let us join in praying together what we know and affirm as the prayer of God's love. And we do this upright with joy. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen.